Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. I have always wanted to be a game show host. I mean, it's not like it's a dream of mine or anything, but like, I could do it on the side. I could host, probably not smart enough to host Jeopardy, but I could host Wheel of Fortune. The one I'd really want to host is The Price is Right. I think I'd be pretty good at that. And I said on Friday, if you lose to this crap Indianapolis team without their best offensive player, Jonathan Taylor, without their best defensive player, DeForest Buckner, without their best corner, Juju Brents, without their starting quarterback, Anthony Richardson, if you lose at home coming off a bye to a team that has the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL, then we have to start asking hard questions around here. And whether or not Will Levis is the guy is not a hard question to answer, because you know the answer. But the questions that have to be asked are, are you going to let the same guys that have put you in the mess you're in right now, are you going to let them try to get you out of it? You know you're so bad that you're going to have the first, second, third, fourth pick. Are you going to let the same guys that have dug you in this hole try to get you out of it? Well, Jared, that's not fair. And that's, no. Everything's on the table when you lose a game like Sunday's. When it's not a fluke and you lost to Malik Willis, a guy you traded away for a bag of footballs a month before. Yeah, we got to have these discussions. And one thing I hear the pushback on is it's not their fault. And again, I lump them together, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker. They've both been here for 2 years. Chad Brinker was here for the draft last year. Rand Carthon was here for the draft last year. Chad Brinker was here for free agency this year. Rand Carthon was here for free agency this year. I'm not doing the, is it Vrabel's fault? Is it Rand's fault? Is it John's fault? Is it Mike's fault? Is it Rand's fault? Is it Chad's fault? I'm not doing that. We're putting them all together. The committee, the collaboration, the consortium, whatever you want to call them. So let's do this. Instead of saying, well, Jared, they drafted J.C. Latham, as if that's reason to let them pick the next quarterback when they picked Will Levis, let's just go over all the big moves. And let's do it in game show fashion.
It's time for a bust.
I don't think the ball bounced our way.
Or hush.
Personally, it goes without saying, I think we've had a hell of an offseason.
Bust or hush.
All right, let's play bust or hush right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll take a player, we'll go over whether or not he was a bust or a hush, and if he was a bust, we'll hear our voice tell us that he was a
bust.
And if he was, in fact, a good player, and this was a good decision, and they make the Titans better, we'll tell Jared Stillman to
hush.
All right, let's start off the top. 2023 free agency. Andre Dillard, number one. Well, Andre Dillard's probably the worst free agent signing in the history of the NFL. And the Titans, because Deshaun Watson, that wasn't a free agent signing. And the Titans are still on the hook for $3 million this year for Andre Dillard. Andre Dillard was benched midway through last year for Jalen Duncan, who was also terrible. We'll get to him in bust or hush. But I think it's fair to say Andre Dillard.
Bust.
Number two, Arden Key. Arden Key did get off to a hot start. If you remember the first game against the New Orleans Saints, he had 2 sacks. Last year, he had 6 sacks. This year, started the year under the cloud of a potential NFL suspension, but he beat the odds and has been available for the Titans this year, has recorded 0 sacks. He does have 9 tackles so far in the season. Sorry, hate to say it, but Arden Key is, well, when you don't sack the quarterback, you are a
bust.
Sean Murphy Bunting, come on down. He's up next here of the 2023 free agent. Sean Murphy Bunting did play last year, did have an interception of Lamar Jackson last year. But there's a reason why you went out this year and spent all the money on the corners. There is a reason that you weren't interested in bringing Sean Murphy Bunting back. Hate to say it, but he's not even with the team anymore. Sean Murphy Bunting.
Bust.
Daniel Brunskill at right guard. Rand Carthon brought him in from San Francisco. He knew him. In San Francisco, he played some right tackle. He played some right guard. He played some center. He played some left side of the line. He was versatile. He was a Mike Vrabel guy. He played through injury after injury. How can you doubt this guy? But with the man, big coach, Bill Callahan, coming in here to take over, Daniel Brunskill makes $3.5 million, and they won't let him play right guard. They won't let him play right tackle. They won't let him play left guard. Right now, he's the backup center. I hate to say it, but one subpar year and 1 year as the backup center when you can't even be the third, you can't even be the second backup right guard, you can't even be the second option at right tackle, can't even be the third option at right tackle, Daniel Brunskill.
Bust.
Hate to say it. Azeez Al-Shaair. Azeez Al-Shaair last year did lead the Titans in tackles. He was available throughout the course of the season, good in coverage. And he hit the bag at the end of the year, signing a big contract with the Houston Texans for $11 million. Last year, Azeez Al-Shaair was a team captain. And Azeez Al-Shaair is a team captain now with the Houston Texans. I got to give him credit. I mean, I hate to say it, but even though I wasn't an Azeez guy, got to say Azeez Al-Shaair.
Hush.
That was a good one. Luke Gifford. Remember when they signed him? This is going to be big on special teams. I'm not sure I've noticed Luke Gifford do anything except intercept a pass in practice while Rand Carthon was doing an interview when he should have been watching practice. Luke Gifford, who they've cut, then they added the practice squad, then they signed him again, and still I don't know if I've ever seen him do anything in a Titans game. Luke Gifford is a
bust.
And finally, DeAndre Hopkins. Come on down. DeAndre Hopkins, the last piece of the puzzle in 2023. Mike Vrabel said, we will get receivers out there. And Mike Vrabel kept that promise when the Tennessee Titans signed DeAndre Hopkins to a 2-year contract. DeAndre Hopkins was their number one receiver last year. And even though they're paying Calvin Ridley way more money, DeAndre Hopkins is still probably their number one receiver this year. He's also their number one trade piece, which you would have to assume after they're 1-6, they're going to make the decision to go ahead and trade DeAndre Hopkins, but not so fast, as ESPN. But given the fact that DeAndre's making about $13 million a year and he's playing like a solid number two receiver in the NFL, got to say with DeAndre Hopkins.
Hush.
2024 free agency. The Titans, they let Derrick Henry go. He's only leading the NFL in rushing. He's only leading the NFL in touchdowns. He's only leading the NFL in yards per game at 117. But they added Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard right now is 18th in the NFL in yards, and he has scored a couple of touchdowns, but he is the best player on the offense. And it does seem like week in and week out, the one guy who is producing is Tony Pollard. So even though it's not an improvement on Derrick Henry, I do have to say Tony Pollard.
Hush.
Lloyd Cushenberry. Boy, and you think we're hard on them? We didn't put Aaron Brewer on the 2023 list. We didn't put Tyrre Tart on the 2023 list because they were already on the team. But Lloyd Cushenberry. Lloyd Cushenberry is the third highest paid center in the National Football League. Again, free agency is what free agency is. But he has a Pro Football Focus grade of 53.8. If the bar is being better than Aaron Brewer, then he surpassed it. If the bar is being a good NFL center, he is not. I hate to say it, Lloyd Cushenberry so far, as is with the rest of the offensive line for the most part, a
bust.
Calvin Ridley at wide receiver, $90 million. $50 million guaranteed. You stole him from Jacksonville, remember? Jacksonville wanted him back, but the vibe here was immaculate. His wife is all the way from Huntsville, Alabama. This was the perfect fit. He chose the Titans because of the vibes. Not because of the money, but because of the vibes. He has 9 catches. He's already mad at the coach for the play calling. You have to assume he's probably mad at the quarterback, too. Calvin Ridley is a
bust.
L'Jarius Sneed, number one corner. He's the best. Look at him in the Super Bowl. Look at what he's doing with the Chiefs. He is the man. Last week, Denard Wilson says he's the best corner in the NFL. Then he went and gave up the biggest play of the game, a touchdown to Michael Pittman. He's been beat deep by Alec Pierce for a penalty. He was beat deep by Tyreek Hill twice in the Monday night game. He was beat deep against the Green Bay Packers. He was beat by Garrett Wilson at the end of the Jets game. I hate to say it, but that doesn't sound like the best corner in the NFL for $19 million. I need you to cover the Colts. Hate to say it, so far, L'Jarius Sneed.
Bust.
Chidobe Awuzie. I don't even really know how to pronounce his name, but it doesn't matter because he never plays. Chidobe Awuzie has been a...
Bust.
Tyler Boyd. 1 year. He's going to be the slot guy. He's going to be Will Levis's go-to guy. He's going to be the... When's the last time Tyler Boyd caught a ball? Tyler Boyd.
Bust.
Kenneth Murray. I actually think Kenneth Murray's the best thing they've done in 2 years. The value for what they're getting, he's flying all over the field. He's making tackles. And I'd rather have Kenneth Murray at $6 or $7 million than have Azeez at $11. I got to give Kenneth Murray credit. Kenneth Murray.
Hush.
Sebastian Joseph Day. Sebastian Joseph Day has come in, and he has been a wrecking ball when he gets to play, which is not all that often. But as much as you guys woo over Tavondre Sweat, he actually has more quarterback hits and more sacks than big old Tavondre Sweat. Got to give it up for Sebastian Joseph Day at $4 million.
Hush.
Jamal Adams.
Bust.
Quandre Diggs. He's been okay.
Hush.
$3 million. Sadiq Charles.
Bust.
All right, let's go to the draft. Peter Skoronski, a guard. With the 11th overall pick, and he stinks.
Bust.
Will Levis, second overall. He's the worst quarterback in the NFL right now.
Bust.
Tajay Spears. Boy, the feeling patrol loves Tajay Spears. But a top 100 pick on a running back who doesn't play. I'm sorry. If you're a top 100 running back, you need to be Alvin Kamara. Like, that's why guys sign undrafted free agents to be running backs. What big play has Tajay Spears made for the Titans? Sorry.
Bust.
I'm going to give Josh Wiley some credit. When he's available, he catches the ball in the fifth round for a tight end. I'm sure that's all you need to ask for. I'll give Josh Wiley a passing grade.
Hush.
And Jalen Duncan. They keep giving him opportunities. He keeps being terrible. He has never once stopped a pass rusher. In fact, when it comes to Jalen Duncan, I think we got to say this about Jalen Duncan. He lived up to his draft billing. When he was drafted, they put on the screen, led the Big Ten in sacks allowed. And boy, he has done that every opportunity he gets in the NFL, Jalen Duncan.
Bust.
J.C. Latham. Boy, did I lose my Kool-Aid when they drafted J.C. Latham with the 7th overall pick. But so far, he's been a starting caliber left tackle. He has improved. And I have to give him a little bit of credit there. So I'll say J.C. Latham.
Hush.
Tavondre Sweat. Boy, the big boy is a good space-eating DT. He is a great run-stuffing DT in the mold of a Dan Big Daddy Wilkinson. The problem is that's not really valued with the 38th pick. He has never hit the quarterback in the NFL. He does not have a quarterback sack. This was hard for me, but I'm going to give him a passing grade for right now, even though I don't think it's worth the value of the 38th pick, Tavondre Sweat.
Hush.
Cedric Gray has not played a snap in the NFL.
Bust.
Jarvis Brownlee Jr., very impressive for a fifth-round rookie. I'd like it if he'd stop with the penalties a little bit, and I think he's probably a backup long-term. But even if he's a backup corner, you know, in the fifth round, that's really not bad value.
Hush.
And Jaquan Jackson. So far, I mean, what's he been dealing with as a punt returner? I'll give him a passing grade.
Hush.
And then the trades. Nick Folk. I gotta give him credit.
Hush.
Didn't think he could kick. Didn't think he could kick it far.
Hush.
He's made his kicks.
Hush. Hush.
In fact, I think he's a good asset to trade here at the deadline. And finally, Ernest Jones. They gave up nothing for him, and they really haven't gotten anything out of him. But I like the move when it happened, and I'll give you credit. I think it's okay there.
Hush.
30 possible moves in Buster Hush. 19 busts. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was bust or hush. What'd you think of my game show skills?
Not terrible. Not terrible.
How catchy was that music?
Not terrible. Yeah.
So, again, I mean, you guys keep wanting to tell me how great this is, and it's like Dillard, bust. Key, bust. Cushenberry bust, Ridley bust, Snead
too early
bust, Wouzier bust, Boyd bust. Yeah, I mean, of course it's too early on that, but I'd also say it's too early to say that Tavondre Sweat is good. You know, again, hey, he can really stuff the run. Great. So can DJ Reader. He's $8 million. He's not the 38th pick. So if I'm going to give Sweat his due, then we got to knock Cushenberry because he hadn't been good enough through the first five games. And that is bust or hush. 102.5, 106 for the game.
And now it's Henry time. Derek cutting it outside. Derek Henry! Touchdown, Ravens!
Secret way to score and be the best red zone team, be able to run the football. And he's as good as anybody. Washington brings everyone down, Jim. Look at how many guys are right here.
Second and five. We still face that with power, with Henry, with a touchdown. Great call, Tony. His second touchdown of the game.
Bring Ricard back from the left side and let the big guy. No one even wants to hit him.
I mean, you let the big dog eat right there. Derrick Henry. I have got to say, I am absolutely stunned by something. Because when the Titans make bad decisions, and let me say this, everybody's going to be wrong and everybody's going to be right on some things. You know, I'm not right all the time. I was not against the decision that they made to trade A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks because all the draft analysts said, hey, Treylon Burks, he's a lot like A.J. Brown. And A.J. had his Twitter fingers and A.J. had his contract demands and A.J. had, you know, and it was like, and he had his knees injured. And I'm like, you know what? That's all. And that was a bad move. It was a bad move and it hurt the franchise. And there's no doubt it was bad. But I am stunned at how many Titan fans were mad about A.J. Brown, and rightfully so. But aren't mad about the fact that the Tennessee Titans let Derrick Henry walk out of the building and the subsequent results that Derrick Henry was receiving. Because when Derrick Henry was on the team, there was all this talk about, does he still have it? Does he not still have it? Should they trade him? Should they not trade him? Well, you know, is it the line? Is it Henry? Is it whatever? And Henry's gone to the Ravens and done everything he could possibly do. He's done with the Ravens what A.J. Brown did with the Eagles. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing yards with 704. The guy at number two is at 609. Number three is at 485. Derrick at 704 is up 219 yards on the guy who ranks number three. Derrick Henry has 8 touchdowns, first in the NFL. Derrick Henry is averaging 117.3 yards per game in 2021, which I felt like, Ian, I really feel like if we go back to Derrick, the most dominant, outside of the four games at the end of 2018 and the playoff run in 19, the most dominant Derrick Henry was that first half of the 2021 season before he broke his foot at Indianapolis.
He was on his way to another 2000 season.
Derrick Henry was averaging 117.1. So right now, he's averaging 117.3. That time, he was averaging 117.1. He's the exact same guy. And by the way, Derrick is averaging 8 less attempts per game with the Baltimore Ravens. He's still Derrick Henry. He's still the king. He's still the Derrick Henry of 2020 and 2021. And you just let him leave. With A.J. Brown, you got a first and a third round pick in return. Granted, they both stunk, but you at least got something. Derrick, you got nothing. And you spent all offseason bragging about how you had $100 gajillion to spend, but you couldn't spend one extra million on Derrick Henry? Not one? He's making $1 million more than Tony Pollard. And the Titan fans aren't mad about it. Titan fans are like, well, I want Derrick Henry to go win a ring. Do you not want A.J. Brown to go win a ring? Quite frankly, I don't care if Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown wins a ring. I want the Titans to win a ring. Well, Derrick Henry probably didn't want to come back here. Derrick Henry didn't want to come back here because Derrick Henry knew that the Titans didn't want him anymore. He wanted to be somewhere where he felt respected, and that's important. And if you don't believe me, listen to what he said last week when he was on the Dan Patrick show, and Dan Patrick asked him about the mindset of teams around the league when Derrick Henry left the Titans.
But do you think people doubted you after you left Tennessee? And did you still have, you know, that get up and go? Could you still, you know, be an elite running back?
Yeah, I think it was doubt everywhere. I mean, I think it was doubt there that they didn't think I was where I used to be. But I knew that, you know, I still had plenty left. And, you know, when that next opportunity came as far as free agency, I was going to be ready to showcase that I can still go.
Yeah, I think there was doubt there, too. They didn't want me. And by the way, there's this little tool that you have. It's called the franchise tag. And the Titans could have used that on Derek, even though they already used it once on Derek. It would have been for a little bit more. But it still would have been a whole hell of a lot less than Calvin Ridley's number. But no, these guys, bust or hush, these guys, they knew. And they just let Derrick Henry walk out the door. And I'm not defending John Robinson, even though, again, I understood why they made the A.J. Brown trade when they made it. And I'm just as wrong as everybody else who thought, you know what, good riddance when they made the trade. TD thought it was crazy when it happened. He was right. I was wrong. This is AJ 2.0. And I don't hear the anger. And I don't hear the disdain for the guy who made those decisions, the guys who made those decisions, the collaboration that made that decision. I don't hear that. In fact, they tried to trade him last year for a fourth round pick. So I hate to say it, but again, he's the best player the Titans have ever had. He's the most popular player in this era of the Titans. And he's the best player at his position in the NFL. And you let him just go to one of your biggest rivals. And people aren't even mad about it. And I do not understand that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will hit your phones. Plus, Joe Rexroad has argued for the stupidest trade I have ever heard. We have got to get to that. And then your phone's at Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
I was here halfway into that last segment when I could have come in and told you that Harold Landry being worth a first is a pipe dream.
There we go.
That you're overly addicted to Hendon Hooker because you followed him with the Vols and somehow became a cheerleader rather than a reporter.
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, it's a nice discussion thing, but Harold Landry, them overvaluing Harold Landry would make him a two, not a one.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, you may be right about that. Again, Stilley keeps – you and Stilley, same team. Stilley keeps – LeJarius Sneed, right third. Again, let's talk about the situation. This only even becomes any conversation if the Lions are striking out elsewhere. Like Stilley mentions Reddick, right? You got Crosby, you got Garrett. I'm telling you, the Lions are – like they could win it, but they just lost their best player by far. Like this is a desperate situation of like
– And Landry's not the best option because they need a real go-getter, and Landry, you know, comes up a little bit short on that meter.
Joe Rexroad thinks that the Detroit Lions trading a first round pick for Harold Landry is not one of the stupidest trade suggestions in the history of the NFL. In the history of sports talk radio. And I love this. Like, Stilley says, well, why would they do that when they did a trade for Hassan Reddick? I mean, isn't that a pretty good question? Like, the Jets are saying, hey, we're willing to trade Hassan Reddick. The Jets, I think, traded a third-round pick in 2026 in order to get Hassan Reddick. So, again, we're talking about third-round pick in 2026. LeJarius Sneed was worth a third-round pick to Kansas City. You want to trade Harold Landry, and you think the Detroit Lions will give you a first-round pick? Do you understand the value in today's NFL of first-round picks? And again, we're talking about a smart organization in the Lions. You think the Lions are just going to say, you know what? We're so desperate. Aiden Hutchinson is out, and now our Super Bowl team, we're worried, is going. So we're going to trade a first-round pick for Harold Landry. I am shocked. by how often I think I say pretty sensible things. No, the whole, like, let's not just brush off right tackle this year. That was me. The whole, congratulations, you spent money. Jared, you got to admit, we're better this year. I'm not going to say that. Why not? Because I think Derrick Henry's pretty good. So even though everyone thinks, oh, he's just a shock jock, I don't come on the air and say, you know what the Titans should do? The Titans should trade Nicholas Petit-Frere to the Kansas City Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes. The Tennessee Titans should trade. Remember how I got drugged for saying two first-round picks and Kevin Byard to Seattle for Russell Wilson, which would have been a disastrous trade. But Russell kind of went for that. Like that, like that's what Russell ended up going for. Harold Landry for a first-round pick. What a dopey thing to say. And then that whole Levis Hooker thing, like, you know, I get accused, and I don't like this, but I get accused of being what's called a shock jock. You know, a shock jock is somebody that's like, we're interviewing Margaret Thatcher today, and we're going to ask her what color panties she wears. Like, I don't do that. Again, I have strong opinions about sports, but I think there's a difference between shock jock and me. But I get accused of it, and I don't necessarily like it because I do put a lot of thought into what we discuss. And a lot of the times the things we discuss, I think, are rooted in reality. The problem is a lot of you live in Titan land, which is not. And then Joe Retro comes on the morning. If Joe ever has the gall in the summer to say, well, I think Stilly's just trying to make a topic out of something, when he's talking about a first-round pick for Harold Landry, I'm never going to let this go. He's going to wish he never, ever, ever suggested this. By the way, Jared versus Joe is in 20 minutes. He is going to wish that he never said it, because I'll bring this up every time. Every time he says, boy, I'll tell you, that's a crazy take by Stilly to think that the Titans need a right tackle when they've got Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
When they got PT out there, I mean, that's a crazy take on Stilly's part. I'll be like, crazier than a first-round pick for Harold Landry? Like, you might, if you called the Lions and you were like, hey, you want to take on Harold Landry, you might get the buyer return. A fifth and sixth round pick. A first. Devontae Adams just went for a third that could be a second. And you think you're getting a first? A first. Give me a break. A first for Harold Landry. Like, Harold Landry's that big of a difference maker. That's like when the Predators traded a first round pick for Ryan Hartman. That's as bad. That's how bad that is. You think the Lions are that stupid? That is the worst radio trade. And there's some bad that wasn't suggested by a caller. That is the worst radio trade I have heard from a host in years. I can't even think of the last time I heard something so stupid. I'm serious about that. A first for Harold Landry. Bill's up next on the program. Phone lines drew by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Go ahead, Bill.
If we wind up with a high pick in the draft, is there anybody out in the college world that you'd be satisfied that we put in? Are we going to set them and do something for a quarterback and so we don't ruin the next guy like we ruined some of the others?
So I'm glad you bring that up, Bill, about the idea of ruining the quarterback. So I'm glad you brought that up. Good call, Bill. I'm glad you brought up the idea of, you know, are we going to sit him so we don't ruin him? Is there a guy out there? Here's what I'm not going to pretend to do. I am not going to pretend to tell you that I have watched enough of Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jalen Milrow, Carson Beck, or Quinn Ewers to be able to decipher the difference between these guys. I have not watched any film to be able to sit there and tell you, other than just watching games when these guys are on TV. But at the same time, my concern when it comes to the Titans and their ability to develop a quarterback correctly, I think we can all agree, right? The first step of finding the guy is identification, right? Like, can you identify who the guy is? The second step is development. What's the program? Does he have the right coaches? Should he sit on the bench? Should he play right away? Do you have an offensive line in front of him? You know that important position the Titans don't care about? Right tackle? Do you have a right tackle? Kind of important. And then I think three, the third thing that's important with this is, you know, what's inside the kid? And I guess that's part of identification and everything else. But that's how you develop a quarterback and that the quarterback becomes a star. Sometimes it's easy. Yeah, Joe Burrow's pretty good. Let's pick him. Okay, what's our program going to be? We're going to get him some good receivers and we're going to get him killed. Well, that'll work for Joe Burrow. But for the most part, it's a little bit more difficult than that. And the question I have to ask, and I asked it yesterday, do you trust the guys who drafted Will Levis, who this is their plan for Will Levis, Brian Callahan's offense, which has made him worse, do you trust them to identify and then develop and then execute by getting the right players in here to go around him, getting the right coaching? Do you trust these guys to do that when they failed with the last one? And my answer is no. But for some reason, well, I think there's like some sort of you have to trust these guys to do it. And I don't know why I have to, but that's what everybody tells me, supposedly. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. 1025-1063 The Game. Tomorrow it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. Holy crap, do the Preds need a win. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Tune in tomorrow morning with Robbie and Rex Road, the GM show, right here on 1025 and 1063 The Game. And join 1025, 1063 The Game and Joe Dubin from 11 to 1 o'clock this Saturday at Hope Fest 2024, a family-friendly festival celebrating hope found in the faith and recovery of community. The event will be held at the Bethel Church of Nazarene at 455 Broadmoor Drive in Nashville from 11 to 2, with free food, games for the kids, mental health, and recovery resources available. The Tennessee Titans Alumni Association will be on hand with their vaccination clinic. For more details at thegamenashville.com/events.
Better as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's seeing things well. He's understanding what's trying to get done. You know, he's found completions at a bit of a higher rate, which has been good. Now we got to find the balance of being aggressive still and being smart with the football, and then still completing the balls when they're there to be completed. And again, sometimes they're not exciting completions, but they're effective and efficient. But we certainly got to find ways to get the ball, you know, down the field a little bit more and let him do things that he's good at as well. So there's been some growth in some of the intermediate and underneath things and decision-making, and then we still got to keep that aggressiveness with him as well.
Brian Callahan keeps pumping the tires of Will Levis, saying, well, you know, the completion percentage is up after he stumbled around with let me think of something positive. I do wonder this when it comes to Callahan, and I get it. The quarterback is our guy until he's not our guy anymore. I get it. But at some point, this constant staunch defensiveness of Will Levis is ultimately going to become a reflection of Brian Callahan. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to happen. And if you listen to Derek Mason, apparently it sounds like inside the locker room, that might be happening. Let me check my watch now.
Those high-priced guys that they brought in, they are questioning whether Will Levis is the guy right now. And the receiver coach is trying to keep everything together. He's listening to their grievances. He's trying to work through it with them. But he sees the same thing that Calvin Ridley sees. He sees the same thing that Hop or Tyler Boyd sees. Because Traylon can't say anything because Traylon ain't making no play. Nick Westbrook, Keenan ain't going to say anything because he's like, man, listen, I just want to get in the game. Y'all
hey,
throw me the ball.
One target, one touchdown Nick Westbrook, Keenan yesterday.
It is what it is for me.
Shout out.
But those other three veteran guys that have been with teams that their passing game has been legit, they come here and they're like, man, this is what I signed up for? Seriously? Coach is trying to keep it all together. But he ain't going to be able to keep it together no longer. Because now that Calvin Ridley said what he said, best believe it's some more is going to be coming if they continue to lose.
A lot of people say, well, Brian Callahan didn't draft Will Levis. Well, that's great. But Brian Callahan's the one who keeps defending Will Levis. At some point, that does become his responsibility. At some point, when he keeps telling us, no, I think he's getting better. No, I still believe. No, I think he's got it. At some point, it's like, well, you were wrong. And now we don't trust you anymore. And I don't know when that happens. One texter says, the A.J. Brown trade is not equal to Derrick Henry walking. I know you want to cover for your boy, J-Rob. First of all, guys, I think you guys forget about how John Robinson and I got into it when he was general manager. Like, when I kept asking him before the 2022 draft about, what did you do in the 2019 draft that you didn't do in 2020 and 2021? And John's like, God, why do you keep asking about the 2019 draft? Because it was the last good one. You guys think that I wasn't on John Robinson. This ain't about John Robinson. See, that's what people do when they want to feel good about themselves. They want to feel good about their football team and not think that they're run by guys that don't have a clue. So they say Jared's biased. But I didn't sign Calvin Ridley for $90 million. I'm not the one responsible for L'Jarius Sneed coming in here and getting burned by Alec Pierce. I'm not the one who's ignored right tackle for the last 2 years. My point is, A.J. Brown was an elite player. We all know it. We all watched it. We all saw it. They traded away A.J. Brown thinking they were going to draft another elite player. They didn't. Fans were nuts, went nuts. They should have. The Titans let Derrick Henry leave because they didn't think he was an elite player anymore. Derrick has even said as much. I still thought Derrick was an elite player. It's funny, people on Twitter are like, you wanted Derrick Henry gone too. Hell no, I didn't. I went to the Super Bowl. We had Warren Moon on the show. I'm like, Warren, do you think it's a good idea for Derrick to go? He's like, I don't think so. Rich Gannon, do you think it's a bad idea for Derrick to go? I don't think so. I mean, I wanted Derrick Henry back because I thought it was best for the young quarterback. And Derrick Henry has gone to the Ravens. And Derrick Henry has performed at the top of the league. And yet, you aren't mad about it the way you were mad about A.J. Brown. Somebody tell me why. And I know the answer. Here's the reason. Expectations in life are everything. The Titans, when they traded A.J. Brown, were contending for the Super Bowl. Granted, it seemed pretty apparent, and this was why I freaked out about Ryan Tannehill so much at the time. It was very apparent you probably weren't going to be able to run the gauntlet of the AFC with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. Which, by the way, I think is still the problem that Baltimore has, which is, can Lamar win 3 games against AFC quarterbacks in order to win the Super Bowl? But people thought this was a team contending. They were 7-5. AJ, a key piece to that, lit them up. And it was like, good riddance. Because you thought you had a Super Bowl caliber team. Well, even though the Titans told everybody, we think we're going to compete this year, nobody thought they were a Super Bowl caliber team. So it's like, it doesn't matter as much. But as far as the actual undervaluing what you had and watching it go somewhere else and flourish, Derrick Henry is no different than A.J. Brown. Other than the fact that A.J. Brown's been hurt a lot in Philadelphia, A.J. Brown has caused problems in Philadelphia, and I can promise you, Derrick ain't getting hurt, and Derrick's not causing problems. And you know it. But, again, I'm the bad guy. One texter says, you defend John Robinson and his firing daily, and you have never said anything positive about Rand, not one thing. What did Bill Parcells used to say? You are what your record says you are in the NFL. John Robinson won 61% of his games. In fact, in the 2022 season, the Titans were 7-5 when John Robinson got fired. 7-5. Do you know how many games Rand's won since he's become general manager? 7. I just want us to have the same standards. But I know we don't, because it doesn't make us feel good about it. 615-737-1025, Jared versus Trader Joe, which is up next here on the program. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 again.